Prabhuji, my question was like we are saying that Mount Meru is in the center.
Yes.
So does it pass through the lotus stem or like because it's a very tall mountain? So how do we understand this in relation to the stem of the lotus?
See, Prabhuji, I'll give you one example. So our mother goes to market, gets the vegetables. For example, you take some vegetable like a pumpkin or something like that, some vegetable, and she takes it into the kitchen and she cuts into different pieces and make the sabji. So after cutting the vegetable into different pieces, will you have that vegetable in full frame, full shape? Will it be there? Will it be remain?
No, Prabhuji.
Now what do you see is only the cut pieces.
Right.
Same way, Lord Brahma had cut this entire lotus into 14 divisions and also multiple subdivisions. Now we don't have any lotus. What we see is only the Bhumandala with Mount Meru in the middle. Then Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Mahar Dhruvaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. And beneath the Bhumandala, we have Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatal, Rasatal, Mahatal, Mahatal, Patal. Only those divisions, like the sabji, the made sabji, the cooked sabji.
Okay.
So now there is no more lotus.
Okay, yeah, now it's comprehensible now, right, Prabhuji. So another question I had. So yes, we are saying this Bhumandala, we started with that saying that it is a lotus leaf.
Yes.
And let's say when Priyavrat Maharaj created the track of the land, so can we understand that this lotus leaf was bifurcated into concentric circles? Like there was a whole solid mass initially, but then yes, later on it was cut into concentric circles to create dvipas. So that same lotus leaf was cut into 7 concentric circles. So whatever left in between became the part of that Garbhodaka ocean. Is that right understanding?
No, Prabhuji. If we had experience of going to any traditional South Indian temples in India, there is Pushkarani, something called as Pushkarani, every temple. And we have so many lotus flowers, lotus plants are there in those ponds. The lotus leaf is always located just above the water.
Mm-hmm.
The water is below the lotus leaf. Whatever water below the lotus leaf, it is called Garbhodaka ocean.
Okay.
On the top of the lotus leaf, Priyavrat Maharaj created some circular ditches or whatever we can say. And they later on filled with water. And they are known as 7 oceans. And because of those 7 oceans, the intermediate lands are known as 7 islands.
Okay. And
these 7 oceans have nothing to do with Garbhodaka ocean. Garbhodaka ocean is below the lotus leaf or below the Bhumandala. And the upper surface of the Bhumandala, there are 7 circular canals, water canals.
Mm-hmm.
So they are known as oceans. The intermediate lands are known as 7 islands.
Okay.
So it is like that.
Okay. Yeah, now it's clear probably. And another one last question I have is that when we say this, like the material of these oceans like milk, yogurt and sugarcane and honey and all that. So is it like same as we know these materials, like because since it's part of material world, so or it is like something different?
I'll give you something. Here in Mumbai, I'm from Sri Radha Gopinath Temple and our temple is located very close to Arabian Sea.
Right.
So just walking in 5 minutes, we happen to see the ocean and we say this is a salt ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take out some water of the ocean and dry it up, what remains is salt. That is how we get salt in India. At least, I mean, as per my experience, I'm saying, of course, all over, it is the same procedure. So we have ocean here, which has salt within it. So when Bhagavatam says that all other oceans are made up of ghee ocean, buttermilk ocean, we can say that they are all diluted oceans of those respective properties. When you say milk ocean, it could be, we don't have any scriptural pramana as of now. So this, I'm just extrapolating based on our limited experience. It could be a diluted milk ocean.
Right.
When you say it is ghee ocean, It could be a diluted ghee ocean.
Yeah.
Something like that we can think of.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Like, now it makes sense. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for asking those questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, there are some questions in the chat. Shall I read it?
Actually, there is one comment. It is not a question. And before that, it seems there is a question. I will read it. No
Okay.
problem. So, who all live in Ilavrata Varsha? So, there is a question about it. Who lives in Ilavrata Varsha and all will be the subject matter of one of the future sessions. That time we will discuss. So, till then, we'll go move on with the divisions only. And then, next question is, thank you for the crystal clear explanation. One question. The name of some of these mountains are used within India. Our mountain names in India are mere coincidence of being named of these greater mountains, isn't it? Also, is Gandhamadana the mountain where Sanjeevani was brought by Hanuman? And is Malevan the advisor of Lankapati Ravana from Malevan regions? So I don't know whether Malevan is from Malevan regions or not. About Gandhamadana mountain, where Hanumanji brought this Sanjeevani, etc., etc. About that, we may discuss in the next session. It will come up a little bit. And the coincidence of the different mountains also we'll discuss in the future sessions. So, etc. Those things. Because we have not discussed where we are. And so, it is not a good time to talk about the coincidence. Why the coincidence is there? What is the reason behind them? Etc. That will be future discussion. So, for now, we are simply going on. One simple thing, many times devotees ask this question. So when they see that Bharatavarsha here and Himalaya here, they say that this Bharatavarsha is India and the Himalayas are the greater Himalayas, our Himalayas, like that they continuously ask questions. But for now, it is not. And what it is, we will understand in the future sessions. Yeah, S. Prabhu, please go ahead. Sureshwar Shyam
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu,
Prabhu.
for a nice explanation with a lot of pictures. Prabhu, one question I have is this one, this mountain that you're talking, Mandara Mountain. Is it the same mountain that is being addressed in the Samudra Manthan Leela?
You need to wait till the next session.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. So one more question, Prabhu. This we saw this tract of land was divided into seven. And Jambudvipa we are talking about is one son, Agnidara, right, Prabhu?
Yes.
Agnidara is there. And then now Agnidara had, you're saying, nine sons, right, Prabhu? So he
Yes,
gave
nine
these
sons.
nine dvipas.
Yes,
So that you will
nine
elaborate.
varshas.
Sorry, nine varshas.
Yeah.
So you'll list, Prabhu, which varsha was being ruled by which son?
Yes, we will discuss about them in the next session.
Okay. So, Prabhu, one question. After Priyavrat Maharaj, when Priyavrat Maharaj ruled the entire Bhumandala, so after Priyavrat Maharaj, so we are going narrow and narrow, right, Prabhu? Here,
Yes.
our discussion or our whatever we call, right, is going narrow and narrow. And okay. So that should be our understanding, right, Prabhu?
No, there is a little more addition to it. Priyavrata had seven sons. He had divided the entire Bhumandala and gave them to seven of his sons.
Yes.
The eldest son was Agnidra. He was given Jambudvipa. He was ruling Jambudvipa. At the same time, he was the monarch of the entire Bhumandala. The other six younger brothers would rule the remaining six islands, but they report to their elder brother, Agnidra. Agnidra himself taking care of Jambudvipa alone. At the same time, he is the overall king for the entire, overall monarch for the entire Bhumandala. Like the central government and state government.
Yes.
Something like that. Later on, we'll see that. And Agnidra had nine sons. And he had given these nine divisions to nine of his sons. Out of the nine sons, the eldest son was known as Nabi. And Nabi was given Bharatavarsha. Though Nabi was ruling only small Bharatavarsha as a local king, but he is the monarch of the entire Bhumandala. He is the eldest among all sons. So he is responsible for the entire Bhumandala. At the same time, is personally taking care of this small land known as Bharatavarsha.
Okay.
Simultaneously, all of his younger brothers and cousin brothers, they were ruling their different divisions at their respective locations. Okay. So that is the understanding.
Okay, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you. Maybe in future session, you'll elaborate more. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. This is very helpful. And wherever, you know, whichever topic we read, you know, some aspects of this planetary system or the representation of this planetary system is talked about. So this becomes clear when we are understanding this, the different aspects of this Bhumandala. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanavad
Pranam. Thank you. Any other queries? One or two last queries? Please kindly don't feel anyway. So this is a little technical subject matter and first time we are all studying, and at least you get to know what is there, if not everything with crystal clarity, but with a little bit homework at your respective places, with a little bit discussion among yourself, you can get more clarity on the same subject matter. So request all of you to go through this chapter at your leisure, at your home, by till the next class. So in the next class, we will discuss from chapter 17. So about the descent of the flow of Ganga and few other additional things. Step by step, we'll discuss all of those things. If there are no further queries, we can stop here.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I just have one small question.
Yes, Prabhu.
So Prabhuji, like when we said it's sun, which we discussed in the previous session, which revolves around entire Bhumandala. So is it the one sun for entire Bhumandala? Like not like when we say solar system, our sun. So it's not like that. It's one sun for entire Bhumandala. Is that correct understanding?
Small correction. He is the one sun for the entire universe in which we are living. There is only one sun for one universe. We are talking about that sun whom we are seeing morning 6 a.m. Of course, nowadays, morning 7 a.m. till evening 5:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That sun whom we are seeing every day without fail, about him only we are discussing here in the Bhagavatam.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
And he is the only one sun in our universe. There are no second sun. Only when Prevrata became second sun, that time second sun was there. Otherwise, there is no second sun.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Your class is very detailed and you're explaining it so beautifully with so many slides and a wonderful presentation, Prabhu. There are questions, but I still don't know whether I am like I would be going ahead or not, because I think I'll take it slow and slowly ask questions over time. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, and we need to read on our own. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Guru Station. Wonderful class, Prabhuji. And, you know, we need like more sessions to understand in more details. So thank you so, so very much. It's very detailed subject matter. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If nobody has questions, we can... Lalitangi Mataji has?
Yes.
Okay, you have time, Prabhuji?
Yes, I have time. 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I mean, I don't know what to say about this. I can only say that we feel where we are, insignificant. So that's what we ultimately we get to see. So Prabhuji, when Priyavrata went around to make another sun, so there was no night at all. Then there was no moon and then we hear that because of the moon, only the vegetables are coming. So I was wondering, what is the purpose of Priyavrata to do that?
Exactly, I don't know. But I mentioned that example yesterday. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having visited Gaya, after initiation when he came home, he started Kirtan in Srivasangan. Throughout the day, Kirtan was going on. Eventually, he said, all the devotees, why are we wasting time sleeping in the night? Let us do Kirtan throughout the night. So only that much I can connect to it. The only purpose is, Prirat Maharaj might be thinking that why people are wasting their time sleeping in the night. Instead, they can practice bhakti seriously and then go back home back to Godhead as quickly as possible. And the vegetables and moonlight, etc. If he can do this much, can't he produce vegetables? So he's not a hard
right.
person.
Right. So
he can take care of it. No problem.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very, very grateful to you for this. Whether we completely understand or not, we at least get a glimpse. Without your picturization, how many other times we read, it's hard to understand, Prabhuji. So thank you so much for all the hard work and effort. I'm grateful to you.
Hare Krishna. If there are no more further questions, we can end the call here. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today, and we look forward and we are very grateful for your effort and everything.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Bhaktavrinda ki jai.
Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha
vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnava brinda ki jai shiva pripad ki jai shri bhagavatam ki jai hare krishna
thank you very much
so much
namaste prabhuji for the wonderful class
so much
prabhuji hare krishna
krishna
Thank you all, dear devotees. We'll end the meeting here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. See